25 years ago, Pope John Paul II made a prophetic and unprecedented gesture, inviting leaders of all the world's major religions to the Umbrian hill town of Assisi to pray for peace in the world. The invitation was accepted by around 70 religious representatives who gathered with the former pope outside the great basilica dedicated to St. Francis. That striking image and renewed spirit of dialogue has inspired ecumenical and interfaith groups around the world ever since.
25 years ago when this started, I saw some statistics. There were like four major world religions that addressed themselves to justice, peace, and ecology issues. Now there are over 2,000 religious movements that address themselves to justice, peace, and ecology.
Father Peter Damian Massengill works as an assistant to the Secretary General of the Conventual Franciscan Friars at the Basilica of the 12 Holy Apostles here in Rome, and has been involved with the organisation of events marking the 25th anniversary of that first day of prayer for peace in Assisi within the Franciscan family. While Pope Benedict will be leading a commemorative event in the city of St. Francis itself, other celebrations are expected to take place in parishes, communities and cities across the globe, recalling and recommitting all people of goodwill to that same spirit of Assisi. To find out more about the form these celebrations will take, I spoke with Father Peter Damian and with Sister Nancy Chalaski, a general counsellor of the School Sisters of St. Francis. We're looking back 25 years, the first day of prayer for peace in Assisi. What was it, do you think, back then that provoked John Paul II? What convinced him that it was necessary for such a bold, such a visible gesture as this? Father Peter.
As he put it with the announcement and with his commentary at the time in the publications, it was the figure of the person of Francis. It seemed to have an appeal to everyone around the world from all kinds of different religions, at least those of the people that came to Assisi, that there must be some inherent invitation that came out of the very person of Francis himself as a historical figure and as a spiritual figure. And so it was a place where people would come and gather, that everyone felt welcomed and at home to be who they were.
You were there, weren't you, Sister Nancy, at that first?
Yes, I was. I had just started about a year before working at L'Osservatore Romano English Edition. I went in no official capacity, took a day off from work, and went up the day before because I knew it would be pretty much difficult, impossible to get into town. And had no credentials of any kind, no invitations of any kind, but just wanted to absorb the atmosphere and be in a place which is, to me, a second home.
How would you describe that atmosphere on that day?
It was interesting, exciting. I have several visual images in mind. The first one is at the Basilica of Santa Maria degli Angeli. I was waiting outside across the street, and as the prayer ended, the Pope and all of the religious leaders who had gathered there in front of the Porzioncola, and at that time there were no big screens, so we did not see what was going on inside. We did not see that picture that has since become the image of that event. But the Pope and the other leaders all came out, and I can remember seeing the Pope's car in front of a bus. And I said, oh, there's the Pope's car. He'll get in, and everybody else will get on the bus. Well, the Holy Father took, I think it was the Archbishop of Canterbury, by the hand and climbed on the bus and sat in the seat behind the driver's seat. And I said to myself and the person who was with me, they'll never let him ride up on the bus. And there was quite a delay as everybody got on, and the Pope was just there sitting in the seat behind the driver's seat. I was on that side of the road, and he's waving to everybody, and the bus took off with him on it, and his car followed. And I thought, this is not business as usual. He was delighted. He was delighted to host this event. And just throughout the day, people were free to go where they wanted. I remember as I was at the lower basilica, as the crowds came down, and when the groups there saw the American Indians coming, it was like shock went through because they never thought of the Native Americans as a religious group. But just the panoply, but such a good feeling all around, like it was a great crowd event, and yet at times they would just ask for silence and prayer. And people went from one site to the other, praying, joining in the prayer and the silence. It was not a circus, but it was definitely an event.
There was a lot of criticism of it, even back then, wasn't there?
I was shocked. I remember the night before, as I was in the piazza, and there were flyers being handed out in the Piazza del Comune by groups that were totally against it, and with some rather crude cartoons of the Pope, and just suggesting that it was blasphemous for him to do such a thing. So, yes, it wasn't everybody all in agreement about this. There was definitely an element that said, this is not the right thing to do, to gather people of different faiths to pray together. It's almost like putting all the faiths on the same footing.
You, of course, have been involved in interfaith work and ecumenical work to a certain extent since then, haven't you? What do you think, perhaps, is the lasting legacy of that first encounter?
I think the idea that people who do not agree on the identity of the Supreme Being can, in some way, come together, maybe not always in prayer, but at least in an attitude of respect for one another and respect for other people's ideas of who God is and God's role in our life, and even how God shapes destiny, and that even if they cannot pray together, they can at least discuss together and see where there is some accord.
Father Peter Damian, you've been involved with the Franciscans, haven't you, right from the beginning in planning some kind of 25th anniversary celebration. Can you tell us a bit about how the idea originated?
Well, originally there was a discussion among the major superiors of the Franciscan family, the different branches of the Franciscan family, and the desire that they had to do something to commemorate the 25th anniversary of that first event. Part of that was obviously a dialogue that we had with the present leadership of the Franciscan family in Assisi, what they would like to see, how they might want to be involved. And of course, shortly after that first casual conversation, we sat down with the bishop and his counselors to discuss what might happen at Assisi. At that time, that was exactly the question, what might happen, because we had no idea how the Vatican wanted to respond to this 25th anniversary. We certainly presumed there would be something, because it's 25 years and it was a major event. But whether it was something as simple as an Angelus recognition of the event, or an audience recognition of the event, or some sort of official statement sent up for the day from the Pope or whatever. So we talked about many possibilities, and then we invited the Bishop of Assisi to write the Pope and invite him, at least as a courtesy, and see how it went. And I think it was to everybody's surprise when on the 1st of January this year, he kind of, as an addenda to his Urbi et Orbi, said, by the way, I'm going to Assisi on the 27th of October, which put the whole thing in a completely different level.
And I imagine has changed significantly your plans. How has that affected the organization?
Well, it's made the organization simpler because it's all in the hands of the Vatican now. But our work as Justice and Peace Coordinators continue, and it's still a very important piece. And I think the bishop felt it was a piece that convinced the Pope to come, is that our desire and our intention is to animate the recognition of that event throughout the whole world, because not everybody can come to Assisi on the 27th of October this year. But everybody can do something at home.
So you've sent a letter, haven't you, particularly through your old Franciscan family, to encouraging everybody to take part in this?
The major superiors of the family have sent a joint letter out to everyone, and the Justice and Peace Coordinators have gathered various languages together and provided a whole list of possible prayer services for groups of Franciscans, for ecumenical groups, for interfaith groups, for daily prayer. with background information, resources of what one might be able to use for these kinds of gatherings, and are asking all Franciscans in the world of every color, shape, size, and extent to do something in their local gatherings to celebrate and recognize this.
There's a lot of this material available online.
It's all online on the website. Well, there is a blog site, spiritodiocesi.wordpress.com. If that's too much to remember, there's a link on the official website of each part of the Franciscan family. It has a nice logo of Assisi there and a link to this website and to all this material. So it's readily available. And all the material is reproducible to use and shape in whatever way they wish.
If I'm not mistaken, a number of groups have had an annual event for the last 25 years, always inviting people together around the time of the anniversary to pray together, either in or to dialogue together in some kind of a format. So this is nothing new for the Franciscan family. The first year after the original event, the Major Superior sent a letter, and that's where we can find the first reference to the term the Spirit of Assisi, which is not, when we're using it here, it's not just, you know, what's the town there, it's the whole event that John Paul II invited everyone to come together, to pray together, to spend time in silence together, to fast together for peace. So for the last 24 years, people have been commemorating this event throughout the world. We're just trying to give it a little bit more of a push because it's a big anniversary.
My thanks there to Sister Nancy Chelaski, a general counselor of the School Sisters of St. Francis, and Father Peter Damian Massengill, assistant to the Secretary General of the Conventual Franciscan Friars.